Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
We have an ultra special hyper episode of TFL Talking Trucks because we're trying to figure out what's the best all-American big three pickup truck.
Yeah, now for those of you who are listening, or for those of you who are actually watching and going like, okay, it's another time where you're saying it's a special episode because you're outside. Ah, there is a lot more to this. And that's because Andre went through the trouble of putting together a trip for the crew to come out here to Michigan. That's where we are. We're not too far from the Detroit airport right here.
Right. And this does not look like Colorado, does it?
No. And the humidity would tell you, no, this is not Colorado either. But this gave us an opportunity to get our hands on the big threes, luxury trucks, and do a comparison between the three of them.
Yeah, head to head. And also, I don't want to focus so much on dollars, you know, and money. I want to focus this on features, right?
Yeah.
Because this is state of the art, right? Let's just go one by one. We have three trucks that compete. We have the 2024, just freshly redesigned Ford F-150. And it happens to be a PowerBoost hybrid. We have a 2024 GMC Sierra 1500 Denali Ultimate.
With the 6.2 liter V8.
Big V8. And we also have a 2025, so next year's, but available now, Ram 1500 Limited. This happens to have the high output Hurricane twin turbo straight
which
six.
Is insanely powerful.
Yes.
They're actually three very different powertrains. And at the same time, they're sort of the modern take of what these automakers have in terms of powertrains. Now, real quick, I wanted to point something out.
Sure.
Many of you are probably saying, okay, what about the Tundra Capstone?
Yeah.
It's not in Michigan.
Well,
Texas.
And also, I mean, we could have added the fourth truck, but our logistics would have been like exponentially bigger.
Yeah, right now it's really hard just to get these three and drive them for a day. So just, you know, we tried.
Yes.
But we'll hit the Capstone another time.
And
as well.
We've reviewed the Tundra Capstone.
Right. We've actually done
many, many times. We had an iGauntlet towing test. We have efficiency loop testing.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have tested most of these already as well. But this is our opportunity to put them head to head.
And it is the big three. Right?
It's the big three. And this is Michigan, after all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And Hunts, they all have Michigan plates. Anyway, so let's talk about these trucks and what they are. Now, first of all, if you're wondering, just real quickly, let's get out of the way. They can all be about the same, a similar price in the $80,000 zone. We know it's insane, but these are luxury trucks. Now, the Ford, it's not quite apples to apples. Andre can explain.
Exactly. So what you see here, well, by the way, all of them are crew cabs, four-wheel drives, with top-of-the-line powertrains.
Yes.
The Ford F-150 you see here, it's a Lariat with every option.
Right.
And it's in this beautiful, I really like this color.
Yeah, all
red.
Of us agree this red is absolutely outstanding.
This red, it pops, especially in the sun.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of have this blacked out Lariat package, which I think complements the red in a really great way.
I do like the new nose, Andre. I do like this nose.
You do? And the new lights signature here?
I like it. It's a little GMC upside down in some ways, but at the same time, the new emblem and everything else, I really do think it's snazzy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's super like similar to the GMC.
It reminds me of it a little.
It's kind of on a bigger scale because the fog lamp is kind of tying into the headlamp, and it's Ford. I do like this color combination, but some other color combinations are not a big fan of. So it kind of depends for me.
But the thing we have to mention is the fact that if this were the Platinum, then price wise it would
be identical.
Identical to these.
So if this was a Platinum with every option, and we'll talk about, of course, all the features.
Sure.
And we'll take each truck for a drive, so you'll be able to experience these trucks with us and decide for yourself what might be your favorite. These could top out at around $88,000.
Right.
We are not talking about RAM quite yet. I mean, it's going to come at the end of this episode.
Right, right.
RAM could be had for even more money.
Yeah. Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
But we got to talk about a little bit about powertrain.
Yeah,
this or has, a lot about powertrain.
Yeah, this has the Power Boost, which is something that you have a lot of familiarity with.
Yes, so the Power Boost, that's the marketing term from Ford for their hybrid, came out in 2021. As you said, Nathan, I actually purchased it myself. I had it for 2 years and then I sold it. And now Ford has refined it. All right, let me pop the hood on this hybrid and let's talk about it because...
Ooh, look at that.
I like this quite a lot.
Two shocks.
Nice, so really nice and easy. The hood just pops open. This is a 3.5-liter twin turbo V6 to begin with.
To begin with, right? Right.
That engine has been around for many, many years since, in a way, since 2011.
Yeah, but since then they've done some serious changes
to it. Of course, it saw quite a few changes. And then you see some high voltage wires, these orange wires under the hood and some of the other componentry to make it a hybrid because there is a, behind this engine, there is an electric motor.
That's how much between the engine and the transmission.
And there's, of course, the 10-speed behind it. And 430 horsepower and 570 pound-feet of torque. Those are big numbers.
Those are really big numbers. That torque number is impressive. Now, here's the deal. For those of you who don't know, Andre owned the same powertrain. Not the same trim.
I had a work truck.
He had one step above the base trim, if I recall.
Yes.
But yours was also a Pro 4X, if I recall.
Exactly. XL Pro 4X with a couple of, you know, small tasteful options.
That is, so far, the truck he seems to miss the most. And part of the reason why is because it was super efficient and...
Quick.
But also, it could power a campsite or a work site.
Yes.
That's what's cool.
And this can too. Of course, they left it alone. And by the way, Ford is kind of doubling down on their hybrid.
Which is smart.
So they never speak about numbers on sales as far as which, you know, each engine and every model. But they said they used to sell about 10% of their F-150s with a hybrid.
Uh-huh.
Now they're targeting 20%, which could be a really big number. We're talking about like 75,000 or like 85,000 trucks a year, potentially, maybe more, with this powertrain. By the way, efficiency numbers could be upwards of 24 mpg on the highway or even 23 combined. So this is also quite efficient. And you talked about powering things.
Yes.
Let's show that in the bed.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. And of course, we'll get the chance to drive it so you can experience this with us as well. All pop right. The back?
Yeah. I hit the button.
Pop the back?
Popping back.
Nice. This has a hard tonneau cover. This is the way kind of this lone truck.
It functions, unlike our Tesla one. sorry, but I...
Yeah, you're right.
Truth hurts, right?
Oh, sorry. There's another pull tab here. Sorry, I couldn't see it.
No, that's okay. You're only the head honcho of the most watched video truck.
Are you putting pressure on me?
No, I'm not. There, look over there.
Okay, so here on the driver's side, we have all the plugs, right? So, and they're slightly reorganized.
Did they redo it from the time you had it?
Yeah, slightly. It looks slightly different.
It looks a little different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So up here, there's still 240 volt, 30 amp plug, basically a generator plug
or a washing machine or a dryer.
Yes. So kind of a generator style plug. So that's 7.2 kilowatts, gigawatts of power.
We've used this almost identical truck, well, slightly older version of it, to actually power and fuel up or juice up electric cars. We've used this for that.
We used it to power a house.
Yeah.
A friend, Justin's house.
Yeah.
David welded off of this on our property
and also used other tools on it as well.
Yes.
Yeah, the system functions is our point, you know. And yes, we're being fanboys about it because honestly, every single truck should have that. Every single truck should have
it. This came out in 2021.
I know.
And the GM 1500s and the Ram 1500s don't have this yet.
No, but neither does the Toyota.
Right.
Right. And the Toyota has a hybrid powertrain. So there's like no excuse in my book for that, except for there's probably some legal reason.
And we're talking about, you know, the output, the 7.2 kilowatt. The other trucks, we'll talk about
but
not as high powered as this. And I think that's kind of game changing. I mean, like you talked about, it opens up the world for you, right?
I would agree.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
So I'll tell you what, Andre,
Yes. Now
that we've looked at some of the outside of this and you've got a basic idea,
Yes. Let's
have a look at the interior and take this one for a drive. I think that'd be a really good idea, don't you?
Yes, and then follow up with GMC and the Ram.
Yeah.
Yes. So all F-150s are made out of aluminum, right, dude?
Well, the bodies are, yeah.
And the beds. So you would think they would be super lightweight.
Uh-huh.
But this truck has a lot of options, this F-150 Lariat. So it has a payload of 1,284 pounds. And not super great, right?
Right.
And it has a gross vehicle weight rating of 7,400 pounds.
Hmm.
If you take 7,400 minus 1,284, that means this truck weighs over 6,100 pounds.
Well, it's got to be part of the hybrid system too, dude, because that battery is not light.
Yes, the battery is basically kind of underneath the frame in the rear. And this truck will pull upwards of about 11,000 pounds, give or take, in this configuration. So that's still good capability, but I wish it had a little bit more payload.
Yeah, I think that the hybrid powertrain might be part of the culprit.
And also, you know, the panoramic sunroof
all the stuff in there. I guarantee you, yours, which didn't have all that stuff, probably had a higher payload.
Oh, way higher, like 1,700 pounds almost.
Which is pretty significant.
Yes. Yes.
All right, here we go.
Let's get in.
To take my hat off and actually enjoy the air conditioning. Yes!
So I just powered this up.
Yes.
Do you hear anything?
Yeah, I am poured.
Other than the chime, are you hearing anything?
Just the air conditioner.
Because the engine is on, but it's not on. It's the hybrid.
Okay. And so the hybrid motor, the motor that's sandwiched between the transmission and the engine is also a starter, am I correct?
Exactly. And of course, it does other things. You can drive on electricity alone, like I am doing now. So I am just kind of maneuvering here in the parking lot on electricity alone, and I can kind of show you a few more features.
Okay. Now, credit where it's due. Ford really does sweat the details with some of these things. And even though GMC's is even more extensive, there's one little thing I wanted to point out. Can you see that in there? They have a port for both USB and USB-C.
Yes.
Now, the reason why it's a big deal is because very few people actually care about that. Either they go one way or the other.
But I think you and I care.
I agree, and there's many of our viewers and listeners, I think, who do as well. Now, the GMC is interesting, but wait till you see the Ram and what they did with it.
And why do we care? Well, because I have a lot of old cables.
Right.
A lot.
You know, I only have one USB-C cable right now.
Really?
That's it, yeah. Okay. Just so when we drive new vehicles, I can charge my phone.
So it does have a wireless charger, which is nice.
Yep, right there.
So the interior for 2024 is not super different.
Mm-hmm.
There's a slight difference kind of in the dash area. Let me open this panoramic sunroof, which I do like having.
But it is a huge expense.
Yeah, it's also
and
weight.
By the way, yeah, and I feel heat.
There's a lot of heat in
yeah,
there.
There's yeah. a lot of heat that glass definitely
it traps
stores.
Definitely some heat. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the newer trucks, or also luxury cars, have monochromatic roofs where you can change up, you know, like make it opaque. Or
it helps, but having a solid piece of metal over you will reduce some of that heat. I'm only saying that because you know, stuff like global warming. So does this retract?
Yes. So Ford has had this for a little while.
There you go.
And then you can go like this. Whoop. Make it into
and
a table.
And then floppity.
Floppity, floppity. That's nice. This feature is still here. There's still a largish compartment. It's kind of challenging to show it. But two USB-Cs down there. Deep.
Yeah. And those are BC.
Very nice.
Yeah, those are your USB-Cs. Once again, that's something that, you know.
So let's talk about features, because there's a lot going on here. First of all, now every truck for 2024 in the F-150 lineup has two digital screens. So I like they kind of simplified it.
This size in all trucks?
Can you believe it?
That's pretty cool.
That's sweet. Okay. Features. You know how I love features.
Yeah, right?
Smart hitch. Well, this is not a towing review, but this helps you kind of walk through the checklists. And also, onboard scales. This is a unique thing.
That is something that only Ford is doing currently, as far as I know.
I love this. This shows our payload, 1284.
Uh-huh.
I also love that because it's kind of a digital verification of what the truck is saying.
Watch what happens when I rock back and forth.
Yes. It's basically height sensors, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of estimate the weight in the vehicle.
Based on the spring capacity and everything else. Yeah.
That's really, really useful feature because for trailering or just carrying payloads.
I agree 100%. I wish everybody would do that. Okay.
Okay. Now we have driver assistance. We'll talk about that later. Pro Power on board. We kind of mentioned this already, but when you turn in the bed and it says only use it outdoors, you have 3600 watts and 3600 watts.
Uh-huh.
So you have two circuits there for a combined 7200.
Right.
So that's really, really cool.
So as you're driving, you could charge something else. And we've actually done that before. Well, we've had on a trailer an electric car that we were charging as we were towing it back home.
Yeah, which is amazing feature just by itself.
Yeah.
So those are just a couple of unique things that Ford is doing. And you'll see this theme throughout this podcast, because Ford is doing something unique, and then like GMC has its own trick,
right?
And then the Ram will have its own trick.
Exactly. They're all very different in terms of their layouts and personalities, and they all do one or two things better than the other, you know? And that's what's kind of cool, is that this is a really good age to be a truck fan, because they're really building the hell out of them. Really, the only issue is, you know, extreme pricing.
Yeah, but technology, really high-tech stuff.
My God, yeah,
now,
so much.
Now, we do have four-wheel auto, and four high and four low. Of course, I have a locking rear differential in this truck, and then I have modes. I have eco mode that I can show you in this right now. That's tow haul mode. Now I have eco mode and a sport mode. So in sport mode, if I can give it a little bit of, hold on a second. Let me make sure I'm in sport mode. If I can give it a little bit of throttle.
Is that augmented sound?
Yeah, a little bit of augmented sound. But this thing just lights up.
Yeah.
It's quick.
Yeah, it really does push an awful lot of power. But there is a little bit of a lag, I will say.
Yeah.
A little tiny bit.
I didn't do a full launch, but
just with my experience with these trucks before, I can say that there is a minor lag. It's not a big deal, and you're not going for high performance with these things. If you are, then you bought the wrong truck. But the overall riding sensation of this, it's a little stiff-legged compared to some of the competition, I think. It's fine, but if you're buying a luxury truck and this is, you know, in the $80,000 zone,
yes,
then I think that some people might prefer a softer sprung setup.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a personal thing too.
Yeah.
And Ford does offer a couple of different suspension options. There's also kind of the adaptive suspension. I'm not talking about Fox. Fox is for off-roading.
That's, you just know, that's Raptor stuff. That's a completely thing. I'm not talking about the Raptor at all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm also talking about, you know, these standard street trucks, right? And
right.
just everyday vehicles, like this one, like this Lariat. They have a couple of different other suspension options. I actually kind of enjoy, I mean, this does have a 20-inch wheel, not a 22.
Yeah.
So it has a little bit more tire give. So I do enjoy that.
It does, but I can guarantee you that when you compare this to the GMC's ride, the GMC's gonna have, despite having larger, heavier wheels, which means more rolling mass.
Yeah.
I think the GMC is much softer sprung, and just over these little bits of pavement. And by the way, this is some of the smoothest driving that we can find in all of Detroit.
These roads in the Spark are amazing.
Yeah, most of them. So we found the one little area of road that has some little bumps and divots here and there, and that's pretty much as good as it's going to get. But I think it's fine. I mean, you feel the road, right? Like we're doing right now, but it's not jarring.
No, not at all.
Okay.
And relatively quiet. I mean, there is, you know, I'm hearing a little bit of the HVAC system. Mm-hmm. You know, the air conditioner is on, but I'm not bothered by a lot of noises. And I think Ford's been doing this for a few years.
Yeah, quiet tuning.
Yeah.
And many of the things that they do, for instance, they fill a lot of the cavities with foams and whatnot and other materials, and they tend to use a double glazed glass. Driver's
glass.
Yeah. Right. And that, all of that combined does help the noise considerably.
Yeah. So overall, I'm a huge fan of the hybrid system. Maybe Toyota Tundra has a slightly smoother system, but the Tundra hybrid does not match this on efficiency
or utility
or acceleration.
Ah.
I mean, Ford. I think Ford did find something very, very cool in this hybrid, where it's efficient when it needs to be, it's really quick when it needs to be, and also powerful and good for towing.
Yeah, now let's move on to something that is a little bit more historically...
Traditional.
Thank you.
Yes.
Andre.
Yes?
I want to introduce you to the GMC, the authentic V8, but most importantly, it is coated in titanium rush.
That's the color?
That's the name of the color.
Dude, it's got a lot of metallic. It kind of pops in the sun.
Yeah, in this sun it certainly does. And check it out, this chrome is called Vader Chrome.
Yes.
The fact that they actually got the rights to say that must have cost a fortune. So, a lot of stuff going on with this truck, but this really, to me, represents old school pickup trucks. 6.2 liter has been out for a long time.
Yes.
It is one of our favorite engines.
Largely unchanged for several years.
Yeah, and the torque and horsepower numbers are pretty much the same that they've been for a while now, right?
And this is Denali Ultimate. This is the ultimate, the pinnacle of GMC, right?
Right.
For their half-ton, full-size trucks. Well, let's look at this beautiful V8. Yes. And when we start it up, you'll also be able, it comes to life with this roar, like, I mean, it's like, I have arrived, right? That type of sound.
Well, this is, for displacement wise, I mean, think about it. It is actually double the displacement of that Ram.
Yeah,
more than double.
Yeah, 6.2 liters. And dude, we know this engine by heart, right?
Yeah, we really do.
420 horsepower, not quite as much as in that hybrid,
mm-hmm.
460 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have turbochargers or electricity.
No, it just relies on a good old-fashioned engine. But it does have cylinder deactivation.
The fanciest kind.
The fanciest kind.
Yes.
And there is a lot of innovation going on with this vehicle. So even though it's a bit anachronistic in terms of its actual engine, most of the other stuff in here is fairly modern.
And the 10-speed automatic, really, I mean, GM and Ford kind of collaborated on a lot of that technology.
Yeah.
And they have adapted that for their particular engines that they're using. And we hear... We haven't seen it yet, but GM continues to invest heavily into V8 technology.
Which is really surprising considering GM's older proclamations about going electric.
Yeah, and also, what do you think? I mean, this is just me talking, this is not General Motors talking, but I can envision their them pairing a V8 with an electric motor mm-hmm. to get, you know, the next generation hybrids technology.
Yes, I just don't know if they're going to use this big 6.2.
Yeah, something maybe smaller.
They have a 5.3, they've got some other stuff in there. Plus, they have a four-cylinder turbo that they actually put in half-ton trucks, and I have a feeling that that might be the packaging they need, but that's just a guess.
But what if they could pair a V8 with electricity, so you have both the V8 sound and efficiency? That would be sweet.
Okay, so we're going to call Mary Barra.
Mary?
Yep.
By the way, she's near here, right?
Yeah, we're in Michigan.
Can we find her?
Sure, let's go to her house.
I don't know where she lives, so.
It'd be really creepy if I said I knew where she lived, but I honestly don't.
We don't. It's sitting on these 22s, by the way, as we're walking by it.
Yeah.
So they've had similar wheel combinations for a little while, and I think it looks really attractive.
Yeah, I mean, if you want the bling, that's what you're getting with this. And what's really interesting about it, for those of you who are listening and can't see this, is that the wheel itself has like three different metals going on at the same time.
Yeah, it kind of works all together.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It kind of has that Vader thing going on with some chrome stuff and a little bit of nickel. And then, you know, even with the lugs in it, all of it stands into a interesting design, I think. Far more interesting than the Ford design, which is really decent, but it's just kind of boring.
Okay, of course, it's a crew cab. Of course, it has a standard length bed, very similar to what Ford has. But
can I do the tailgate?
Yes, please.
I'm gonna do the tailgate. Okay, here we go. I think I got it down now. Ready? Here we go. Wah-wah. Ka-cha-bang! And ba-bam!
Whoa, kicker stereo?
Yeah, right?
In the tailgate. Yes.
Now, if you want to go one step further, we have the Roman bar.
Is that for Roman?
Yep.
Okay.
Shiny, when I was your age, I was able to climb into trucks without using a handle.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
by the way, Ford also has a new for 2024 fancy tailgate.
Yeah.
It's not on this particular Lariat.
Which is a real shame because I'd love to show that. It was a really cool design.
It's a design where basically the middle of the tailgate swings like a barn door open.
Yeah.
And there's like three different indentations of how it opens. So you kind of enter, you can enter a little bit closer towards the bed of your truck.
You remember like 3 years ago, or maybe it was more, it was like 4 years ago we did Tailgate Wars.
Yes.
And back then, Ford didn't really have anything to show for it. Now they do, but unfortunately, we still can't show that off.
That's okay, but we did show it in the previous videos.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to point this out, dude. So, you know how Toyota uses composite beds?
Uh-huh. They've been doing that for a while.
Yeah, and Tacoma's had them for years.
Uh-huh.
Now the Tundra has it. GM is doing something similar. They call it Carbon Pro bed. So basically this composite material, super, super durable. I believe we have a video that you can maybe look up on YouTube or oldtfl.com where Roman, when they introduced his bed, like bounced a center block and it almost hit the cab as he was balancing it.
Which would have been really funny and really horrible at the same time, but I would have laughed. This bed though, the way they designed it, and when I talked to a GM individual, I think he's a rep though, but still, he said that because of this design, it allowed them to have the double wall in here pushed way further back, giving you more volume and more usable cargo space inside, his words.
Yeah, and it's very durable. You know, with my boots here, there's not a lot of slip. Because I'm always worried with composite beds that there could be some slippage.
Yeah.
Especially when you have rain or some sort of moisture.
Dude, I have a composite bed on that little tiny Santa Cruz and things do slip around.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of space to slip around. So, hey, you have an outlet under you.
Yeah, but it's not 7.2 kilowatts.
No, what is it?
It's 400 watts.
Okay, so you can run a laptop with it.
Yes, or maybe charge your batteries for your tools.
Yeah, that's right? About as far as it's going to go, though.
But this bed, you know, I like this bed itself a little bit more than Ford's. And also in the front of this bed.
That's huge.
There are tie downs.
So a lot of people, I mean, unless you have the cleats on the sliders.
Yes.
A lot of people don't have tie downs up at the bulkhead.
Yeah.
Which.
And this does.
This does. And I think that's huge, especially for motorcycle freaks and whatnot.
Yeah. Or like fat tire bicycles or something else that you can actually put indentations here in the front and tie down your bicycles or motorcycles.
Absolutely agree. So the design is interesting. Unfortunately, not a lot of other utility with it, but it's already, you know, baked in terms of like good for towing and most importantly good for hauling. Now let's talk about that door.
Yes, payload and towing.
Yes. Yeah,
let's take a look because Ford was kind of lowish on its payload, right?
Yep, I'll close the gate.
Okay, thank you. By the way, Ford did not have a power step on that Lariat. Ford offers a power step. This GMC, of course, has a different style power step that kind of swings open like this. Now let's take a look at the payload here. And once again, I'm surprised. I thought I wouldn't be surprised, yeah, but I am. This has 1,490 pounds, almost 1,500 pounds. How's that possible? This is a Denali Ultimate.
So why is the payload so good is what you're asking?
Yes.
I don't think it's that good. I'm sorry.
But
1,700
but
is good.
But it's better than 1,280.
Of course it is.
Okay.
But it's not a hybrid. I mean, it has that 6.2 liter,
yes,
true, but it still doesn't have all that extra stuff in there. There's no battery underneath it.
All right, let's look at the stickers down here because this will show us its gross vehicle weight rating is 7,100 pounds and towing is up to 8,900 pounds. So really that Ford hybrid has a couple more thousand pounds
it kicks of towing this capacity. Thing's tush in terms of that. So here's a thought. One of the reasons why this payload is decent on this one is because it's not the AT4 or AT4X or whatever, which has a softer
right.
off-road suspension,
yes,
right?
This and also the carbon pro bed may have saved a few pounds there as
that's
well.
That's kind of where my next thought was.
Yeah.
So now I think a good time, especially because the interior in this thing is really nice looking.
It's really great.
It is a Denali. So why don't we take it for a spin and talk about the interior?
Good idea.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get going, hey, camera person, have
yeah.
a look at this seat because
it looks like a baseball glove.
It does with the
I
stitching.
I love it.
It's soft leather. The white piping is beautiful. I'm not a big fan of GM seats in general, but at least the design of this one, the look of it visually is quite nice. And I think it does a really good job in terms of how it complements the dashboard design and the rest of the design here with that white stitching and the white piping.
Yeah, I think they took care of everything like above the climate control system here on the console and above. Everything looks super nice, including the headliner, but something below still plasticky.
In some
right?
spots
in,
it is.
In a couple of places.
But they do balance it out like with the center armrest. That's a pretty good design there. Although that armrest doesn't have 19 tricks like the Ford did, right?
No, but it has its own tricks that we can discuss and take a look at right now.
All right.
So first of all.
So look at where they put the USB and the USB-C.
Oh, they do have a regular USB.
Right. But look how it sits in the middle. It's completely yeah. different in terms of their location. And they don't have as many trays to stick things in except.
And over here, there's a wireless charger
right.
in a different location.
Yeah, which if you have a giant phone case, you might have a hard time getting it in there.
So listen to this. I don't know if...
I don't know if that came through.
Okay. You know, I mean, it's tasteful. It's not obnoxious. The V8 roars to life, but in a very pleasant, gentleman type of way.
Yeah. Now, if you're on the highway and this, you're putting it on full boil, you're going to really hear it. But otherwise,
yeah.
you won't hear this engine very
By
much.
The way, yes, of course, it's a V8. It's not super efficient, but GM does have another choice. It's the diesel. Which is wonderful.
One of our favorite engines, I think, over the past few years. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Just wonderful because it has, the torque is very similar to the torque on this, if not the same, but it...
Exactly. And they continue to improve it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's far more efficient.
Exactly. So if this is like 19 highway, 16 combined, the diesel is well into the 20s, very similar to the hybrid in the Ford,
exactly.
as far as the overall efficiency.
Yeah, if I recall, it might be slightly more efficient than the hybrid, but it doesn't have all the tricks the hybrid has in terms of powering, so of course there's that. So it's a very interesting trade-off. Once again, we were talking about how they're all very different.
Yeah.
Now this thing has a bunch of stuff going on, so.
Dual glove boxes?
I think the Ford does as well. The Ford has a.
I think they're all kind of switching to this
right.
dual thing. Once again, highly competitive segment, right?
Right.
They sell a lot of vehicles, both Ford, GM, and Ram, and they compete directly. Of course, we have ventilated seats and heated seats, just like we did in the Ford.
Feels like real wood.
It is. It's etched with Denali inscription and topographical maps. All of them now have an option for heads-up display. This
right.
truck also has it. Beautifully wrapped steering wheel.
Yeah, that is quite nice.
The Ford had the BlueCruise system.
Yeah.
Once again, we can actually test it out in a different video.
Uh-huh.
This has Super Cruise.
Super Cruise.
Super.
Yeah, I actually had just a chance recently to test drive a different GMC that had Super Cruise. And it was in the little Arcadia. And
yes.
Interesting system. So let's talk about the overall setup of this vehicle. I think it sits right between Ford and Ram in terms of
as far as just design.
It's luxury feel. Like, for instance, the seats look really good. They're a little bit on the flat side.
And a little bit on the hard side.
Yeah, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're good, but they're just not great.
I agree. As far as tech is concerned, this truck won't tell you the payload currently in it, mm-hmm. but it has a really great trailering and towing app where you could look at cameras, your MPG. This will also estimate gross combined weight. So if you, when you hook up the trailer to it and get moving and start going, after a few seconds of accelerating, the engine, you know, will see how much load is on the engine, and it will estimate if you're actually coming close or over your total weight. It will kind of let you know, but it won't let you know how much weight kind of is in the truck itself.
Right, so it's basing all of its information on drag, am I correct?
Exactly, and the effort of the engine.
Right.
That the engine is exerting.
So it's very different set of the Ford. Can you imagine if Ford and GM got together and actually created a system? Oh, that would be heaven.
Yeah, like, and I think at the end of this video, we need to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
What would be the perfect truck if you could grab elements of each mm-hmm. and just stuff it into a single thing?
Yeah.
That would be quite interesting.
Agreed, 100%.
On my left, I have four-wheel drive. Auto, of course, is available. You can't really see it, but I'm going to put it in sport mode because we had the sport mode enabled on the Ford as well. And we're going to go for a short drive. That's fun.
See what I mean? When you open it up, when you open the taps, this thing sounds
By amazing. The way, there's a difference here in philosophy, I think. When I selected sport mode in the F-150 hybrid, it immediately threw me automatically into 4 auto. The GM truck did not do this.
Did the opposite, really.
That's why I spun my tires.
Right, of course, that's the only reason why, not your right foot.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But now let me select 4 auto, and I can... It kind of kicked down.
Yeah.
Bam.
But boy, does this thing make a great noise, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and that's what some people want to keep. Now, the good news is, for the EU Ford fans, that the Ford Coyote is still not only out there, but makes wonderful noises as well, and it's another engine that we very much admire.
Yeah, the 5-liter is not going away, as far as we know, anytime soon, either.
And Toyota, they're done with their V8s.
Yeah, Ram is now done with their V8s.
Yep, and Ram is done with their V8s. And you may have wondered, hey, what about Nissan? Yeah, technically speaking, they were building a few Titans to finish off 2024, but they really don't qualify to be in this class. And considering that
they're technically discontinued.
That's the
point.
I mean,
you and I did a different podcast where we went to dealerships
uh-huh.
and we looked at the Nissan dealer, and there was no new Titans at the dealership at all.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're basically kind of finishing up their run,
yep.
and that's kind of sad.
It is sad, but and they did have a somewhat luxurious trim available, but I don't think it competed with any of these.
Platinum Reserve.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit, another smooth section of tarmac. Yeah, this truck makes sexy noises.
It makes wonderful yeah. noises, and the thrust is really good. Linear, there's no lag. It's just a smooth curve. I love it.
And but, no, I thought of something too.
Yeah, tell me.
You and I test basically everything at elevation.
Right.
In Colorado. We're near sea level. I think we're between like 400 and 500 feet above sea level here. So this V8 has a lot more oxygen going to it right
it's
now.
It's air that it can actually chew on and sip away from, and it doesn't have to worry about being choked, unlike what we have at way above sea level.
Yeah, because we're losing like 17% density where we live in Denver.
Yeah, depending on the vehicle.
Yeah, so this is a lot of fun, and this is the top of the line GM half-ton truck.
Right.
Period. It has really good payload. I was really pleasantly surprised with that. But 8,900 pounds of towing, it's okay, but it's not quite as high as the others.
Now, I would almost guarantee that GM talk, in other words, the reps that talk to us, and guys, we're saddled with talking to reps all the time. Many of them know us, or have known us for years, and they know that we just want some straight talk, but sometimes they go into the byline of the company,
sure,
or the bottom line of the company. And in many cases, they would say something to the effect of, well, the people who use this vehicle do not need to tow heavy loads. They're going to pull a medium-sized Airstream that weighs 7,000 pounds at the most, and blah, 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 blah. That's what they would say.
And if they will also say, if you need to do more, get a heavy-duty truck.
Right. That's
and
exactly what they'd say.
All of these three, Ford, GM, and Ram, have heavy-duty trucks that are capable far, you know, beyond what this truck can do.
Very true. But the whole thing about half-ton trucks is they handle better, they're easier to deal with in general, and they tend to be less expensive. Tend to be less expensive.
All right, well, let's look inside that Ram. I cannot wait.
I'm excited.
High output.
Yeah, that thing's awesome.
Bam. All right, that Denali was nice, but now we are in Ram country. This is the new 2025 model.
I am so torn about this vehicle. I did not expect to like the powertrain as much as I do, okay? Because it's the first time that I spent the day driving the HO. And just the regular twin turbocharged six is really good.
But this is the HO high output.
It does wheelies. It is really stupid powerful.
Yeah, and we'll be doing some more 0-60 testing, so stay tuned to oldtfl.com and also tfltruck.com. We brought GPS devices, so in a separate video we want to focus on that.
Yeah,
and we'll be able to tell you exactly in the real world what this engine is capable of. But let's start there, right?
Right.
By the way, what does this color? It's devilish, isn't it?
Yeah, I have
Delmonico.
It's Delmonico.
Red.
Or Delmonico. It depends on how you want to pronounce it. It could be the lemon of devils, if you want to say it that way.
No, but it is devilish, and it's also a
nice looking red. I'm not happy about it on this truck. Honestly, that Ford red would look better on this. I know, I just said it. Here, this is an unusual thing. So have a look at the engine.
Yes.
Yes, we are coming here, because this is the big deal. The rest of this truck underneath and a lot of the skin and everything really does remind me of the previous generation, but it's all about the powertrain. And
yeah,
in this case, we're talking about the high output twin turbocharged 3-liter straight six.
Yes.
Totally new engine.
Yes. And by the way, GM also has a straight six in this category, which is a diesel.
Yeah, but
3-liter.
And that's really good too.
On efficiency.
Yeah.
This is something different because this is high horsepower.
Yeah.
540 of it. Dude,
yeah,
it's 120 more horsepower than that V8.
Yes, and what about the torque?
And 524.
Right.
Still, not the hybrid type of torque, like in that Ford, but still monstrous torque. And there has been some controversy about this engine and the lack of its dipstick. So we'll talk a little bit more about it when we get inside, because there is a way to monitor your oil.
Yeah.
Some of us, especially Case and some David, and I think you would agree, people like to actually, you know, touch the oil in their engine and
sure,
see if there's any coolant in it, or, you know, maybe smell it, see its color.
Shavings, something you never know.
This engine has a lot of sensors, but it's super powerful.
Yeah,
super.
It is. And we've driven several versions of the regular twin turbo, and the regular twin turbo is still pretty damn powerful.
Very linear, right?
Right.
It's not like there's some lag and then the power comes on. It's just very linear. We'll show you how it works when we get into it.
Behaves completely differently than both the twin turbo charged V6 used in Toyota and Ford. Very different character.
All right, let's take a look from the side, and we also need to figure out how heavy this truck is, because if it's super heavy, this power is for naught, right? Because you have to move a lot of weight.
Well, the fact that you actually use the term for not, I'm so proud of you. Okay, so let's look. First of all, I'm a little disappointed with the way they designed these, because they look like the old one to me. There's just, considering how much work they put into them, I just wanted this to look a little bit different.
Yeah, the front, you know, kind of a little bit of a squintier headlamp, even though the headlamp itself is very, very premium and LED, it still looks like the previous year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go for it, right?
But, and also, I'm not a huge fan of like, a lot of this is, well, actually this is metal. I was afraid this was plastic.
Right? Well, but it's painted metal.
But it painted it the same way.
Yeah.
So it almost looks like an SUV to me, but it needs that kind of trucky in your face.
I will
style.
Say Ford may have won the grill war on this, because the Ford
grills.
Because this is almost too big. Kind of like what Toyota did with the Tundra, really big grill. But it's, you know, aesthetics are, of course, dependent on who you are.
But this truck hides a secret. So first of all, it's a Limited. That's not a secret. The Limited trim used to be their top trim. It's still a very luxurious trim, but there's now a tungsten above it.
Right.
But look at this. And I'm surprised by this.
Yeah,
it has a longer bed.
So this actually comes with a longer bed than those other two.
Yes. It's basically like a 6'4". And you can have a luxury truck with a lot of utility as well.
So
let me pop this.
Yeah, go ahead and pop this. Now, there's a couple things going on with the rear design of this vehicle. And first of all, we are talking about it looks like they did spray line it, of course. I mean, with this type of price, you'll hear the price in a bit. Are you okay with this?
What? I got it.
Oh, okay. You sure? Oh, here we go. Wait.
That's not my favorite latch system.
Yeah, you have to snap it. Just push, keep pushing it. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good enough.
So it's lined. It's got a length. So even in this premium truck, it's got additional utility because of it.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing any plugs.
That's exactly what I wanted to point out.
Where are the plugs?
It's a major bummer. And the reason why is go ahead and close the tailgate and I'll show you what the bummer is.
Well, it's part of the reason, right?
Yeah. So tailgate's not closed. Now do your thing.
Ba-bam, bam.
And also there's a step.
Yes. So I heard.
Tailgate splits and opens, which is super cool, I think, and very useful for parties and all that. But you can't plug anything in back here.
But you do have the barn-style tailgate.
Yeah, right. It can be a regular one as well.
Yes.
Some people are like, well, grout's going to get in there. It's going to get ruined. The car will come home on fire or something like that. So far, I haven't heard too many complaints. And I do think, I believe they were the first to try this.
And by the way, Ram did say that 2,000 watt export power feature will be in these trucks, but I think it's just not available on sale yet.
Okay.
And I haven't seen it being really used in the real world yet.
I haven't heard anything about it other than what you just
said.
But
still, 2 kilowatt, not 7.2, once again. This is not a hybrid, it's just a combustion engine.
Now, it's important for us to tell you that they did initially announce that this powertrain or a powertrain like this would be compatible with a hybrid system. And
they
we are
did.
Under the impression that they're building that right now and most likely testing that right now. So it's possible that some of the test vehicles you guys have seen over at tfltruck.com, those could very well be hybrids.
And also, they might be saving some of that magic for the next TRX, right?
Maybe.
We know the RHO is coming, the Ram 1500.
Well, you've already had some hands-on.
It made a debut, but nobody has driven it yet.
Well, yeah, but you
with it. But, you know, that truck also has the same power as this, 540, but that's not TRX power, right?
No.
So there needs to be the next step.
What it has is TRX suspension, basically.
Yes.
So what you're looking at with the RHO is more of a TRX, but light. Kind of like a Coke Zero, right?
So well, let's look at payload really quick before we get inside and actually...
I'll take care of this. You go over there.
Drive it, yeah. So I'm really curious about this. By the way, power step, very, you know, different execution once again, but I kind of like this better than that swing away power step in the GM. Let's take a look at the payload. Okay, so like I said, this truck is slightly longer than the others. 1,150 pounds of payload, which is the lowest of this three. And this truck has a gross vehicle weight rating of 7,100 pounds. So 71 minus 11. All right, so this is just under 6,000 pounds, Nathan.
Uh-huh.
So not the heaviest truck here, but the lowest payload.
Andre, that little tiny Santa Cruz that I hate bringing up, but that Santa Cruz has a 1,400 plus pound payload. That's a Santa Cruz. This is a large, with a longer bed truck, and it has less payload.
But it's got 22s.
Don't care about that. And you need to come over and fix this. It won't pop for me.
Okay.
I've been trying to do it while you were doing a little bit. I don't know what I did.
Oh, you have to squeeze it. And
see?
You have to sweet talk it.
Okay, so I
this is not my favorite latch.
No, it's not great. Once you figure it out, I suppose it's
all right. Let's latch it up and let's go inside and let's drive it. Aha. Uh-huh.
Nice to have a step that comes down. Okay, so let's get straight to it.
Yes.
They still build the best interior. I'm sorry, but they do. The most comfortable seats, some of the most beautiful stitching around here. This is all soft material up here. This screen, I'm not as, I think I might prefer the Ford or the GM better in terms of their horizontal setup. And we'll talk about that in a second. But just the overall material usage in here and the comfort of it, definitely in the class of its own.
I agree with you. I like the Ram interior. By the way, Nathan, why is there a Bob Ross here?
I think there's a Ted Lasso one in the other truck.
We found energy drinks. wonderful, positive energy.
Yes. This is a very pretty vehicle. They're all very pretty vehicles.
By the way, so I do agree with you. I love Ram interiors, but this one is a little bit monochromatic. I mean, this one is just a little
too
gray. There's not a lot of different material. I mean, different materials, but not different colors. You know what I'm saying?
So you'd be a little bit more towards the GMC that had that tan and then the other.
It had a combination of colors.
I get you there, but this one still does have woods, soft materials, and even the majority of their plastics. I'm not a big fan of these plastics here because they tend to gather dust, but you know what's in the middle here?
Screen?
It's my own screen.
By the way, I cannot see it. There's a filter. So
you shouldn't be able to see it.
Why not?
Because you're driving, you gotta see that.
Okay. Oh, Rage Against the Machine. How appropriate.
Well, I sing that in the shower in the mornings, you know.
Okay.
Killing in the Name.
So I see you were in this, and your cable is here.
Yeah, I wasn't kidding about this. This is my only USB-C.
This is your only one?
Yeah, this is a USB-C.
So I'm not
But let me show you, camera guy, have a look here. This is remarkable. Look at all these. That's great.
Awesome.
Because this gives you a little bit of everything, including an HDMI setup.
Well, that's your movie. That's how you can watch
that's
your movie.
Yeah, because that even says it here. So I can plug in my HDMI from my computer, watch my movie, something inappropriate while my wife drives, which would be really, really funny. but this setup here, look, USB-C and the USB here. I really like that because there's still a lot of people who are going to be using USBs for a long time. And then down here, I believe this is where you could charge your phone.
Dual wireless system.
Yes. That's really cool. So you could plug, you could put your phone either here or there.
Yeah. This is also a new screen. So they've enlarged the vertical screen to 14.4 inches. The Ram has a camera mirror, and so does GM.
Mm-hmm.
But funny enough, Ford does not.
No, they don't. And it's a real shame because this is such a great thing. For instance, the cameraman's looking at this right now, right? But you're not seeing much of his reflection. That's the point.
Yeah. And if we had, you know, people, friends in the back, family,
dogs,
we can still see beyond it.
Yes.
And you can change, of course, orientation a little bit down or up.
I love that.
Yeah.
And we've worked with these systems before. The funny part is that General Motors was the first, at least in the States, to use this system, as far as I can tell. And when initially the very first vehicle we saw this on was a Cadillac, and now a lot of other people are using it, and I love it, and I hope that more people do use them because it's very effective. And you can always switch to a regular mirror if you don't like it.
Now, how much is this?
It's
as tested price.
As tested, $89,000. It starts at $75,000.
I understand. Yes. I get it. But it is more. This is not the top of the line. I mean, there's still the tungsten.
There is still the
tungsten. That's in the new Ram lineup.
Yeah.
By the way, I also have a digital screen in the front. There is a plethora of different gauges, and you can configure every gauge. I think we could do an hour show just about how to configure these gauges.
Agreed.
This is insane. I wanted to show one thing, because remember we talked about oil dipsticks, right? There is a way, of course, you can monitor your tire pressures, your efficiency. Let's see, trailer towing, I love that. Also the trailer tire monitoring system for trailer tires. I'm getting lost in the heads up display.
See, I figured you were talking about doing an hour long show, and we can easily do that just with you playing with the heads up displays on all three of these vehicles. Now, all three of these vehicles have a lot of things in common. They all have, you know, digital IP. They all have, you know, a massive digital screen here as well, which is for multimedia. I gotta tell you, I'm not a big fan of this, even though I do like having the hard buttons here on the sides, which is really for heating and air conditioning, right, on both sides, except for, strangely, you have hazards, and then you have your traction control here.
That's for playing around.
Right.
For breaking it loose.
But then you have this here, which could also shut off that system. And it doesn't make sense that it's sharing the same space as heating and air conditioning buttons.
I'm okay with that.
I think it needs to be over there or over here.
Okay.
But then the rest of this setup here, all of this, there, yes, you do have a volume knob and you do have a tuning knob.
Which is great.
Huge. But I just don't like the screen being like this shape, because you have to take your eyes downward in order to see anything down here.
I gotta tell you, this is also the only truck with air suspension.
Yeah.
GM doesn't do it. GM has their own active adaptive suspension.
Right.
And Ford doesn't do it in their, well, actually any truck that they produce as far as pickups.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's extra complexity and extra price, which might explain why this thing is so.
I am going to select sport mode using my steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Buttons, and I also was gonna, I found my oil level. Hold on, it's raising itself. Traction control off? What, really? Is that because you pushed it?
Maybe. Okay. Why do you have to be so judgmental?
I'm okay. By the way, it selected for auto for me automatically, kind of like Ford did, okay, because it knows I have 540 horsepower.
Right, and it wants to be able to put it all down.
Look at my oil level, Nathan. It's full.
Yeah, that's according to a digital gauge. Yes. So people want to physically see it and look at it. I certainly do.
All right. Are you strapped in? Are you buckled up?
I am both.
Okay.
So I come strapped.
You gotta watch out, because I'm going to launch this thing in a second.
Yeah. So from what I recall, Stellantis prior... This is a mix between Stellantis and what FCA did.
Yes.
Because this comes in at the end of the cycle of the Pentastar.
Ooh, I can already sense it's holding gear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's eager. And it's an 8-speed, not a 10-speed like the other trucks.
The ZF, right?
ZF. So let me give it a little bit of juice, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So I'm not fully stopped like the other trucks.
There it is.
Okay, a tiny lag.
Uh-huh. But man, whoa, when it kicks in, it kicks in.
It's almost electric in its feeling when it kicks in.
Yeah, so it started moving pretty quick right off the bat, and then it really kicked in. So you could just tell that when the turbochargers spooled up to that point where, about 3,000 RPM, give or take?
Yeah. And it's all over after that.
Yeah.
And it just leaps forward.
Yeah, this thing becomes an animal after that.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Leaps.
Very different feel than the other two, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Completely different feel.
Yeah. Okay, that's quite special.
Yeah. Apparently Jane's addiction is telling you to take it easy.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I was going to talk a little bit about the ride. So right now we're in sport. Maybe that's not the best mode. Actually, we were in sport in other trucks too.
Yeah,
this, so maybe this is a good way to compare.
This already rides better than the Ford.
You like this more?
To my butt, yep.
I feel
the GMC rode better than this. The GMC had probably the most composed ride, I think.
I think we disagree slightly, but that's about subjectivity, right?
Because I'm a fat old man and you're not as old or as chunky as I am. Maybe that's part of it. Yeah, although we both can agree this thing has a ripping acceleration.
Yeah, and it also likes fuel because of this. I mean, it does. By the way, this can run on 87 octane, according to Ram engineers.
Right.
But in order to get full benefit of this powertrain, you got to feed it some premium octane. And it's the same with the GM and also the Ford in some ways, because if you want that maximum performance and also really good efficiency from those powertrains, you got to feed them premium fuel, which can get expensive.
I agree 100%. I really wish that they would do that type of thing and just say, no, doesn't matter what you put in it. You're fine with 85 or 87, depending on where you live. I would love that, but no, they don't do that because they think that some of us are millionaires.
Well, if you're buying a $90,000 pickup truck.
Yeah, but you could buy this for a lot less and still have to get that same fuel.
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, that's the point. I'm loving my TV screen in front of me, even though I'm not using it.
What are you watching? Yeah, by the way, if you slide through some screens, you can monitor some of the gauges and also cameras. Of course, these trucks are loaded with cameras. They're about equivalent as far as 360-degree cameras are concerned. And this also has a heads-up display, like we mentioned in previous trucks. And here on the steering wheel, Nathan, I have hands-free. So there's a button on the right.
Let's talk about that real super quick as we're heading back. All three trucks have a form of highway cruise mobility.
With hands-free.
That are hands-free, exactly.
But which one is best?
We'll have to find out.
GM. Well, let's find out. We've tested most of these systems already.
Yeah, I know. We're going to do a light test of these things, all three of these in a different video.
Yes.
But they all are very different in terms of what they require. I think this is the simplest of the three units in terms of just
only
what
GM offers towing hands-free.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the best. Yeah. I'm saying the simplest.
Yeah.
GM not only does that, but they do the lane changing and all the other stuff. It's actually damn impressive what they do with their systems. And unlike, a company like Tesla or something like that, GM has mapped out hundreds and thousands of miles of highway.
I think it's approaching like 500,000 miles now.
Right.
Yeah.
And they all approach these things differently, but many of us truly believe that the GM system is the one to beat. But yeah, let's see how that compares with the other ones.
All right, so now what we have to do is we have to either pick our favorite or pick our favorite features and combine them into a perfect truck.
That's not a bad idea at all.
Let's do it.
Okay. Andre, what have you figured out?
I got this. Wait for this.
Okay.
Because I've been so torn. I mean, we've been testing trucks for over 12 years at TFL Truck.
Right.
And we've tasted every feature and every type of capability in the truck. Mm-hmm. But I haven't found my perfect truck.
Which explains why you sit with one for a couple of years and then get rid of it.
Yeah. But I want to build my own.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Sure.
I will take Ford's hybrid system, rip it out.
Okay.
Put into a truck, a crew cab like you see behind us, that has Ram's air suspension.
Okay.
Okay. Denali Ultimate interior.
Okay.
And some of the Denali tech as well.
Okay.
And what else would I sprinkle? Oh, and the Ram color, the Rapid Red. Do you see where I'm going?
Yeah, I see where you're going. I'm curious. I thought you liked the Ford Red better.
Did I say Ram?
Yeah.
Ford Red. That's what I meant.
Okay.
So air suspension, I think, is adjustable. I know there could be maintenance issues with it. I know this. But it's adjustable. You can level your truck out and trailer very easily. I love the hybrid system, even though Ram's power is insane.
Yeah.
I still love the capability of charging other vehicles with my hybrid truck and having long range for driving over almost 700 miles. So I would take some of those elements and put them in the same truck for that purpose.
Interesting.
You?
You sure you want to hear mine?
Yes.
Okay. I'd buy a Tundra. I'm kidding. Although the Tundra's not bad. No. What I would do, I do.
Titan?
It's funny. Okay. It'd be a lot less expensive.
Okay.
No. I agree with you about the hybrid system. However, I disagree with where you would put it. I would take that hybrid system and combine it with the high output straight six twin turbocharged in the Ram.
Oh, take an electric motor out of it.
But actually, you know, I might keep the Ford body because it is technically the lightest here. And I really do like that new front end out of the three of them. And then I would take the GMC interior, a majority of it, except for the seats, and I'd put it in there. I would take the Ram seats and put it in there. So, I mean, we'd have similar ideas.
Yes.
But I think that the powertrain would be a little bit different in what we would do. I think the air suspension, it's pretty damn good. So I think I keep that too.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. I mean, it's really hard to pick a truck. I think if you lay down 85K in front of me right now, this minute, and told me to drive away
with one of the truck,
I'll take the F-150 just because of that flexibility of that powertrain. I really like that flexibility.
I think I might be with you on that. I know a lot of people know I love big power Rams. I'm weak for certain Rams, but not this one. As good as it is, I think that the Ford is the right direction to go, but I just wish it had better suspension.
All right. Well, let us know if you enjoyed this episode. And also tell us in the comments below, what would you do? Which truck would you pick? Or which features you would leave aside and throw away?
That's right. Okay, guys, remember to go to alltfl.com because that is where we have all our new content, and we will see you next time.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.